choir. Love is leading us on, leading us right into Christmas, a day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, Unity believes that Jesus was the special Son of God, that he fully expressed that divine Christ spirit that was in him. And Unity goes one step further. Unity believes that each one of us has that same Christ spirit within us that Jesus had. Each one of us can bring forth that same inner divinity that he expressed. If we are willing to believe that Christmas was not just one birth 2,000 years ago, and if we are willing to believe that we are in truth spiritual beings, made in the image and likeness of divine love. If we're willing to do those two things, then that Christmas story that we read as Jesus' birth will be our birth, the birth of our inner Christ. So you're probably very familiar with the story. Caesar has declared that throughout the empire, that everyone needs to go to their ancestral home to be counted and to be taxed. Obviously, the tax revenues were down, just like in Kansas. And Mary and Joseph have to leave and go to Bethlehem, their ancestral home. And Mary is very pregnant. And they get to Bethlehem, and they cannot find a place to stay, because everything is full. But one innkeeper takes pity on them and says they can stay in the stable. Now, the stable was probably just a hollowed out cave in the hillside. But they had a place to stay. And that night, Mary gave birth to a baby. And as that happened, angels appeared in the fields outside of town, singing to shepherds, letting them know of the birth, and they came to see the newborn. And while all of this was going on in Judea, this province of Rome, in a far country to the east, magi, wise people, saw a sign, a star in the sky, and they headed that way because they knew that that was the sign of the birth of a new king. So, we hear this story. We hear this story, and it is very familiar to us. And if we are to make it truly meaningful, we need to find a way to make the story applicable to our lives. Unity's approach to the Bible, reading it metaphysically, is one way that we can do this. In that approach, Unity believes and reads every character and every event that takes place in the Bible as part of our own inner landscape, our own inner personality selves. And so I want to look at just a few of the characters and the events of this story. I want to look at Mary and Joseph, the inn, the stable, and the birth, just those little elements, to see what they have to say for me and my life and our lives. I begin with Mary and Joseph. I have a Mary and Joseph within me. Each one of us has a Mary and Joseph within them. Mary is our soul. Mary is an aspect of purified love. And Mary is active in our feeling nature, our emotional nature that we express in the world. Joseph is wisdom. And that wisdom is active through our thinking nature, the rational part of ourself. And neither nature, thinking or feeling, is complete unless it is joined to the other. To be a whole person, we have to use both parts, both the thinking Mary and Joseph traveled together on that journey to Bethlehem, symbolic of our inner faculties of love and wisdom living that spiritual journey together in us. And together, those two faculties, love and wisdom, bring forth a new creation, the Christ within us. Now, those of you who are familiar with working the principles of manifesting will understand the power of linking head and heart. The joining of head and heart, thinking and feeling, activates the whole manifestation process. So Mary and Joseph, head and heart, come to the town of Bethlehem. And there's no room for them in the inn. All buildings represent states of consciousness. That's the metaphysical way of interpreting it. So the inn is no exception. The inn, in this particular case, is our normal, everyday human consciousness. It's busy. It's busy with all types of guests, thoughts that come and go. Some thoughts stay a while, and some thoughts stay forever. Thoughts, actions that we fill our lives up with, like eating and sleeping and buying and selling and acquiring and getting and releasing, and we could go on and on and on with all the many activities that fill up our life. And nowhere in all of this busyness of everyday human consciousness is there enough space and enough quiet to bring forth a completely new idea, a completely new way of being. My daily consciousness is filled, and it has no interest in allowing anything that does not fit its preconceptions. That's why Mary and Joseph are sent to the stables. Stables. Stables are another building, another state of consciousness, our subconscious or our unconsciousness. This is where all of our automatic actions that control the physical body take place, like breathing and blinking your eyes and raising your hands and walking. There is also in our unconscious the beliefs that frame how we see the world and how we create our lives. There are many functions housed in our subconscious. You know, the neuroscientists that have studied consciousness say that in a course of a day, that only about 5%, no more than 5%, of what we do is controlled by our conscious mind. The other 95% or greater is controlled by the unconscious, the subconscious. So it is here, in this unconscious that we don't have direct connection to, that is quiet and has lots of space, that spirit can lay the foundations for a new way of being, a new way of understanding. The stable is where the Christ child is born, and that is a place where we can safely bring forth the first tentative beliefs in our own spiritual worthiness, our own spiritual wholeness, the tentative idea that we might have within us that spiritual perfection created by God. And I find it instructive in the story that the Christ Spirit came as a newborn baby. How defenseless is a newborn baby? How in need of nurturing and care and being allowed to grow. And this is true of all of us as we take those first tentative spiritual steps. We need to be nurtured and allowed to grow. But when allowed to develop, the baby grows into an adult that changes our entire world. That newborn Christ in me will become the Christ Spirit that is one with God and heals my many wounds and leads me to creating heaven within me that then becomes my life experience in the world. I am transformed by that spiritual connection to God within my consciousness. My outer life has changed since it is a reflection of my inner awareness of my own Christ self. So the Christmas story can become our narrative story, the story of our inner awakening, an awakening to a true and Holy Spirit that we are. And until we actually bring it to life within us, to birth it, it remains only potential. The question that confronts us is, how do we awaken that potential within us? Awaken that newborn Christ in us? And the answer, I believe, is to find a daily spiritual practice and then to work it. You know, the Christmas story is a journey of time and in time and space. And the birth and the growth of our inner Christ is also a journey, an inner journey. I started making growth of developing my Christ nature only after starting a regular spiritual practice. My personal spiritual practice is, of course, miracles. And using that practice, I first understand how I use spiritual principles to create my life and my understanding of the world. And then second, that spiritual practice invites me to have a daily time of quiet, a time of centering and listening to Spirit's guidance. And it often involves meditation and contemplation and silence. And that is the best tool in the world to work with the unconscious and the subconscious parts of ourselves. And then the third part of my practice is what is called forgiveness work. And this is the part that connects me in love with all of the other human beings that I meet. Learning, listening, forgiving is my particular spiritual practice that is awakening that Christ presence within me. And I had intended to leave you with this thought and this challenge today, the thought of your own journey of birth, to birth that inner Christ within you. And this Christmas time as a time to find your own daily practice. But Edna, bless her heart, told me there was only one question that she wanted me to speak to. And that was, what does Christmas mean for you? And the moment she asked me that, my mind started going on this list of all the many things that I am responsible for or on my to-do list, like this message, and then Christmas Eve, and then the food for the family on Christmas Day, and then the presents that we have yet to be bought. And I had to stop myself and listen to what I was saying to myself. And I realized that that's not what Christmas is for me. That's my guilt and my not enough talking. And I sat with the question. And I realized that Christmas for me is both much simpler and much richer. When I was in late grade school, and almost all the way through high school, my family lived in Glenwood, Iowa. And my dad was a Disciples of Christ minister. And after the Christmas Eve service every year, and I have to admit that I do not have the vaguest recollection of what those Christmas Eve services were. We would put suitcases in the car, and all of the presents in the car, and four kids and two parents and the dog, and we would drive, my dad would drive, all night long, and we would end up about 4 o'clock in the morning in Hotel Oklahoma, where my mother's parents lived. One year, I remember that my dad could not make the trip. I don't know what was going on in church. So we went by train. And we rode the train all night long, sleeping in those beds in the train, sleeping to the sway and the click and the clack of the wheels. And every so often, the train would stop at a station, and we'd wake up. And then the train would start again, and we'd be rocked back to sleep. But every year, we would arrive in those early morning hours at my grandparents' home. And then we would be bundled into beds, and we would have to sleep for another few hours. But then we would wake up. We would wake up that Christmas morning, and you know, the amazing thing was that no matter when we left or when we arrived, that Santa always managed to bring the presents to the right house. And we would be ripped open presents and have presents and food and laughter and fun. And I think back at all that and how blessed those experiences and how rich those experiences were for me. And I have to acknowledge that that's not Christmas either. You see, for me, as I look back, Christmas was the people. For in that relationship that I had with those people, I was loved, and I could love unconditionally. So, Ed, for me, Christmas is about loving people, loving and not holding anything back. So how does Christmas show up in my life? Well, the story plays out in so many ways, but I can sum it up in these words. I want the Christ child within me to see through my eyes. I want the Christ child in me to love through my heart, so that every person I meet, every day of my life, becomes as precious and as worthy and as loved as were those people of my childhood. Christmas comes when I do that daily practice that moves it from the potential into an inner reality. And when I do that daily work, I can feel the Christ in me helping me see with different eyes and loving with a kinder heart. And it is then that I can live with these words. I've adapted them from the opening verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the divine idea of God's beloved child. And that divine idea was in God. It was part of the sacred unity that is God. The beloved child is the Christ. And the Christ is the light within each human being. The light shines in the darkness of our forgetting what we are, but our forgetting does not overcome it. And the light that is the Christ manifests in our lives, and we behold the glory of sacred unity as we accept that the light of the Christ is in each one of us. So this Christmas, may all of us see with the eyes of our inner Christ and love with the heart of our inner Christ. And with each breath we take, may we be one with the joy and the peace of divine love.